It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're going to focus on happenings in the Groveland community this weekend. We're pleased to be joined in the studio by Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. Pete, it's great to have you on Motherlode Views.
Yeah, it's great to be here, BJ. Thank you very much for having us.
So first off, tell us a little bit about what the district is and the type of things that you oversee.
Well, the district is a unique form of local government. It's a community services district, which was the law that allowed the creation of CSDs was written and adopted in 1953, and that's the same year that Groveland Community Services District was established by the community voters. And so it's a local form of government with an elected board of directors that serves four-year terms, and they are the ones who establish the policy for the GCSD. And then I'm the district general manager, so I'm responsible to implement the day-to-day activities of the district, which can be very varied. A lot going on there. But GCSD provides water and sewer and fire and park and recreation services in Groveland. And that's what it was established to do in 1953.
So you have a board of directors. How many board members do you have?
Five board members.
And they're elected on a general election ballot?
General election, yeah, every 4 years. Yeah, so.
And then for anybody who's not familiar, your water, how do you get water for the district?
We're the first municipal customer of the city and county of San Francisco through their Hetch Hetchy system. We have in the 1960s, we executed an agreement with the city and county of San Francisco to be able to access their mountain tunnel system through an air vent and installed pumps in two different locations, ultimately between the late 1960s and the early 1990s. So we pump from 500 feet below ground out of the mountain tunnel.
So getting the water from Hetch Hetchy, do you set the rates, or is that San Francisco that sets the rates for your customers?
Well, they set the rates for the raw delivery of the raw water, the untreated water. And so we're basically a customer of theirs, like a wholesale customer of theirs. And then we treat the water and we set the rates for the treated water that we distribute out of the system. So it's a little different than a TUD, for example. TUD gets their water out of, the PG&E system, basically, under a water right. So they don't pay for the water itself, but then the customers pay to treat and distribute it. So with us, we have a little bit of an added cost for the purchase of the water.
So big picture, what have been some of the recent projects that Groveland Community Services District has been involved with?
Well, I'll tell you, I joined the district in 2018, and there were a few projects that were already moving forward, primarily infrastructure replacement related. The district, again, was formed in 1953, so a lot of the infrastructure was built then or acquired from what existed before that time, which needed to be replaced. And then, as things were developed in Pine Mountain Lake in the late 60s and early 70s, that equipment, the pumps, the pipes, the wastewater collection system, those things were approaching their useful life. So the district secured quite a bit of funding over the last decade. We have just completed a $5.8 million sewer collection system renovation project. So we replaced and renovated a couple miles of sewer collection system pipeline, dozens of manholes, and manholes are the access point down into the sewer, and lift stations and other components that were wearing out or leaking or taking on water during rainstorms like we're going to be experiencing here soon, that can overwhelm the system. So that was a great project. That took 3 years in the planning and funding and then 3 years in construction just because of the nature of the work. So that was a big project. We just completed a $5 million renovation of both of the clear wells at our treatment plants, one at Second Grody, one at Big Creek. Those are basically part of the treatment system that store the treated water before it's distributed to the customers. And that was a big project because those tanks were approaching their structurally, they were starting to fail. So we had to replace some of the structure inside the tank. These are large 2 million gallon tanks. Sandblast, recoat it, and then also replace a pumping system with that. So the purpose of that is efficiency, reliability, make sure that the equipment that we have lasts longer into the future. So it looks like we'll get another 40, 50 years out of it, which is absolutely fantastic. That was state grant funded as well. We just finished what's called a water fill station at our district office. It is an overhead fill for water trucks. It is a large hose fill for water tanks. We've seen a number of people in the area that have had failed wells. They've had difficulty in getting either well drillers out or finding additional water. So they have come to the district and they'll fill up, put a garden hose in a tank in the back of their pickup truck. This is a much more efficient way to do it. You can actually pay by credit card and fill up. So that was a grant-funded project through DWR as well. We just completed an improvement project at the wastewater plant. I know this is all technical stuff, but to us infrastructure geeks, it's pretty exciting. And again, the purpose is to meet regulations, health and safety of the community, and to operate as efficiently as we can. This is we replaced what we call the salad bar, which is
salad bar.
It's the headworks. It's a big rotating screen that screens the wastewater. So it's all of the wastewater coming into the treatment plant. It's the first spot that it hits, and it's intended to screen out anything that can't be treated in the wastewater plant. So that's just kind of a crazy way to term it, but it's pretty gross, actually, BJ. But that was a big project to get that done for employee safety, for odor control, and for operating efficiency. And then the last project that I want to highlight that has really got a lot of attention and is something we'll be doing an open house on or a kind of a grand opening this spring is the Upper Mary Laverne Park improvements. If you've ever been to Groveland in the morning, you'll see that tour buses pull in and stop in the parking lot at the park, and you might have two tour buses and a YARTS bus, the Yosemite Transit System, and they're all using the bathroom at the same time. The single bathroom. So that poor bathroom that was built decades ago was completely overwhelmed. So we built had a pre-manufactured, really nice restroom brought in and trucked up and set with a crane. And so it's got double the capacity that it had before. New YARTS bus shelter covered, new picnic shelter covered, a bunch of walkways, just basically connected all the playground with the restroom, with the parking lot, and we installed quite a bit of interpretive signage. We want to it's a large kiosk that is going to have the history of the Groveland Community Services District. And what we do on one side, this is actually a 4x8 kiosk, two-sided, and on the other side, the history of Groveland, because Groveland's got a pretty unique history with the Hetch Hetchy water system and being the construction office or the construction headquarters for the Hetch Hetchy system.
Kind of a hidden gem there, too, to be able to walk around that park, isn't it?
The park is really well located, and it's the nice thing is it's directly adjacent to 285 acres that the district owns that goes up to the ridgetop there from the park, and includes parts of the old Hetch Hetchy railroad grade, and just a lot of nature area. And so, it connects the County Resilience Center to the GCSD office complex to downtown. Really a nice community amenity that we're working on.
We need to take a quick break. We're talking about Groveland this weekend on Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, talking with Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. We'll have our second segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're focusing on the Groveland community on this weekend show. Pleased to be joined in the studio by Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. Pete, what's kind of happening when it comes to projects looking at fire resiliency and water supply issues in the community?
Yeah, BJ, it's obviously always a big concern, especially in a high fire hazard area as we are there, and with limited ingress and egress. So the district is actively involved in planning, both in the region, locally specific in Groveland, but making sure that we're understanding all of the hazards that we can identify and addressing them as the funding and the opportunities arise to be able to deal with, for example, fire fuels management. That's a big thing. We've got a lot of dead wood, a lot of brush, a lot of overgrowth. From the floor all the way up into the trees, and that is something that GCSD on its own property we can only really address at this time what the properties that GCSD owns. So we have secured grant funds over the last 4 years and have basically masticated our entire a group of properties, primarily the property that I was talking about from the park, which basically is behind the fire station all the way up to the ridgetop towards Sonora, and that way, and then extending from Ferretti Road over to Deer Flat Road, and it's been a really great project. It's created a lot of open space with public access, and it's also really cut down on the fuels. There was a small fire that occurred last August, about an acre in size, just directly adjacent to the GCSD property. But because of it, the fact that it was cleared, that the fuels had been removed, and the fact that they were able to get retardant right in the right place at the right time, that fire could have really taken off. It was a hot day, and it was right almost downtown. But we had luckily had crews in the area and got control of it right away. So that's something that we're constantly planning for and looking to expand the fuels reduction. So we're working closely with Tuolumne County as well. One thing that we're seeing is a lot of growth in resorts and growth in activities outside of the district boundaries. And because GCSD's boundaries end not far out of Groveland, and that's where our fire department's primary response area is, but the resorts are occurring from the edge of the district boundaries to Yosemite National Park, with Rush Creek and Evergreen Lodge being really popular parts of that. So part of our fire resilience planning is to make sure that we have adequate resources in Groveland to be able to respond to the fires and medical emergencies and other things in Groveland as quickly as we can. So that planning, both financially, logistically, personnel, equipment, all of that is occurring on a constant basis. And so it's a big challenge because it's a costly service to provide in an area that doesn't have a lot of calls. But
So how does the fire station work in Groveland? Is it purely GCSD or is it tied in with the county? How does that work?
Good point. When the district was formed, it was formed to provide fire protection services, and it had a volunteer fire department for many years, and then it had a staffed fire department that was GCSD employees. Then there was a failed tax measure that resulted in 2012 that resulted in the transition to a contract with CAL FIRE. So basically, the Groveland CSD contracts with CAL FIRE to provide the staffing. We GCSD provides the fire engine, fire engines, the station, and covers all the operating cost, and then pays CAL FIRE an amount per year to provide the – it's basically two staff, 24/7, 365. So, and it takes six people to have those two staff. So so that's how the fire is provided in Groveland, in GCSD. We have an agreement that we worked on with the county for them to provide a second engine that's housed in the Groveland Fire Station. That was 2 years ago. And based on a lot of pressures that we were having with all the growth in the resorts, we came to the county and said, hey, we really need another engine up there so that our engine in Groveland, which is the only staffed engine at the time, is not gone out to Evergreen Lodge, you know, 35, 40 minutes away, and can't respond to Big Oak Flat. So that's it took quite a while to get the eyes open and the ears open and the understanding. And then so when the county did receive FEMA funding through the SAFER program, they put an engine in Groveland for a period of a couple of years. That agreement is in the process of hopefully being reestablished to be a longer-term arrangement because without that additional county engine there, it's just those two people in our engine to respond. There is a CAL FIRE station there, but it's only staffed during the fire season. Luckily, that they've extended that this year and it stayed staffed. But those folks are on a state mission, so if they're needed in Pacific Palisades or anywhere throughout the state, that engine, that CAL FIRE engine, can be moved out. So when you talk about planning and fire resilience and what the district does, that's the role that we play, is really watching all of those things and making sure that there's nothing less than the level of service that we need to provide in Groveland. So that's been a big challenge lately.
How about water supply? Anything in that realm that you're working on?
Okay, yeah, good point. We've all seen some challenges with understanding of water supply as it relates to firefighting and what the needs are and how we can all improve in the future. We've got two different projects that we're working on right now. One is in construction. One will be in construction this summer. They are a water supply tank, 140,000-gallon water supply tank specific for the Big Oak Flat system. There is a pipeline that extends from that tank down into the community of Big Oak Flat, which is the first community you come to when you come up the grade. And then there's a second pipeline that will go from downtown Groveland to Big Oak Flat and tie in as well. So those two pipelines will give a redundant water system to Big Oak Flat. It'll provide additional fire hydrants that weren't there before for firefighting purposes, and it will provide additional pressure and flow that Big Oak Flat has never seen. Those fire hydrants have, when you turn a fire hydrant on right now in Big Oak Flat, there are areas of the community that are out of water because it can't supply it. When these are done at the end of the summer, that will be remedied, which is that's a big thing. I serve on the California Special District Association Board of Directors as its president this year, but we've formed a working group statewide to address the issue of water supply and firefighting. That's never, if you can believe it, it has not happened before in the state to actually bring those interests together and plan for what opportunities we have and what concerns, you know, address the concerns. And I think that definitely came out of what we saw in Southern California, but it's been brewing for a number of years. And so we hope to get some positive movement there because it's a lot of funding that's needed to be able to improve the system in California.
Need to take one more break. We're talking with Pete Campa, the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District, on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're focusing on the community of Groveland this weekend, joined in the studio by Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. Pete, I know the Hetch Hetchy Trail, that's a big project that the Groveland Community Services District is involved in, and I don't know too much about it. So tell us about what's being planned there.
Yeah, this is a really, really exciting project, just from the perspective of linking the community together with a multi-purpose path that someone can access if they're mobility impaired. They can do it on foot. They can do it on bike. So it's an accessible path that is basically going to link the communities of Groveland to Big Oak Flat, ultimately. It along the Hetch Hetchy Railroad grade, as it's called, which is the alignment of the historic railroad that brought the materials in to build the Hetch Hetchy Dam, and then expand the dam, and that was built by the city and county of San Francisco, and then decommissioned right after everything was built and constructed. They had to tear everything down, but they left a lot behind. And they also left behind this swath of land that's between 60 and 100 feet wide with that's been cleared out and has a less than 2% grade that links the communities. So the city and county approached – when I say city and county, that's San Francisco. They approached the district with the fact that the railroad land was being declared surplus and the fact that we already had sewer and water easements within that right-of-way, within that railroad right-of-way, it was a real opportunity for GCSD to acquire that property and control those easements, as well as the possibility, if we were able to secure funding, to improve that into a trail system linkage. So we did quite a bit of community planning from 2018 through, 2022. I had a number of community forums and meetings, and trails always came out as something that people really wanted to have in the community. So we focused on that. We were able to secure funding for $5.8 million from the Active Transportation Plan active transportation program through Caltrans that's funded with SB1 dollars. So it's basically your gas taxes going back into improvements, alternate means of transportation. So they build trails and other things with a portion of SB1. So we were successful in that. We partnered with the Tuolumne County Transportation Council. And they are basically our project sponsor because they have an agreement with Caltrans. And we're working together as partners to we're in the preliminary design and permitting for the trail. And it's a 1.8 miles. It's paved with 2 foot shoulders. So it'll be 12 foot wide paved with 2 foot shoulders. It's basically the width of a narrow road. And it's intended that way so that you could have bikes on one side and people walking or skateboarding or whatever on the other safely. And it extends from the GCSD ball field, which is on Flint Court and where the dog park is. It extends from there onto the GCSD property by our admin building, crosses over the creek and ties in with the county's Groveland Community Resilience Center. And then goes on to the railroad right away, And ties into Mary Laveroni Park and continues on past Mary Laveroni Park to Deer Flat Road. The significance of that first phase, that 1.8 miles, is, again, it will have security lighting. It's not going to be lit like a Christmas tree, but lighting so that you can walk into the early evening hours. It will be accessible to those with any type of handicap or mobility issues. It will be it'll have drinking fountains and trash cans and all that type of stuff. But one really exciting component of it is the fact that it has it's intended to be a California water celebration of California water, the history of California water, because much of that occurred in the Groveland area in Tuolumne County in the development of the Hetch Hetchy system, which allowed for the development of the South Bay area, which we all know is a huge part of California's development. Groveland has a very unique history in the development of the state, and so it will be as you walk along this 1.8 mile path, you'll be able to learn and explore and understand that relationship between our county, our community, and the water supply for the state of California, which that's taken a lot of planning because we've got the Tuolumne County Historical Society and various business and community interests involved in the planning, as well as the city and county of San Francisco. So that is, we'll finish the design by the end of 2026, start construction in 2026, and complete the project by 2028.
Yeah, and be highlighting and celebrating that aspect of California history.
Yeah, it's really, I think it's a real opportunity for Tuolumne County. Because we did a lot of good for the state of California. Not that we intended for that to occur, but with the system of water rights, they worked for many years, the city and county did, to be able to build that, system. And, the legacy dams that we have here and the water supply that comes from this county have served the agriculture and community development of the entire state.
Well, we have just a couple more minutes left on Motherload Views. This next question could probably go for the next half hour, but we'll just have to do a short version. You mentioned you're on an association, a president worth California with community service districts. What do you see as kind of the big challenges facing districts like Groveland over the coming years?
Wow. Our state, I'll tell you, it's a constant, I don't want to call it a battle because it's not being won very easily, but it is an effort to try to keep the state laws and state regulations from bankrupting communities. And that is the primary focus of the California Special District Association. For example, the zero emission vehicle regulations went into effect, and they affect local government agencies. And we are required to plan to replace our fleet of any truck over 3/4 ton with zero emission vehicles, which puts us at quite a bit of risk. We don't need to get into that, but that's a huge challenge, especially for the smaller entities and in areas where you don't have the power to be able to charge these vehicles, and you got to keep them charged for emergency responses and everything else. And that is, you'll see that there'll be legislation moving forward this year. Hopefully, it'll be successful that will exempt those types of vehicles that respond to emergencies, which our utility vehicles are. That's a real challenge financially and otherwise. The one thing that we've seen here locally is Tuolumne Utilities District and Jamestown Sanitary District both had to build new wastewater plants, between $15 and $40 million worth of expense, because to meet current state regulations. I expect that in Groveland, our permit will be looked at, and we'll have to address that. But those regulations get more and more strict every year. So it's cost, and it's lack of growth, and it's just difficulty in raising
lots
the revenue
for sure.
To get everything done.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to end on that note. Pete Campa, thanks so much for coming in today and talking about Groveland.
You bet. Thank you very much, BJ, for having us.
Again, I thank Pete Campa, who is the general manager of the Groveland Community Services District. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.